Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and I'm here for you with another distinction. I love distinctions. I love the word versus because it keeps two thoughts separate for us, and it puts it in the category of either or, and it makes it easy to remember forever and easy to use as a thinking process or a thinking tool. And this time, we're talking about it's who you know versus it's what you do. So the name of this audio is Who You Know Versus What You Do. About 10 years ago, I wrote a book called The 17 Lies, and I based it on lies people told themselves that kept them powerless, kept them weak, kept them passive, kept them fearful, kept them out of the game, kept them out of the global market, out of the local market, out of the game of success, even if they were with a university or an organization or even inside a family. It just kept them out. And these lies were things that kept coming up when my clients would talk to me or people I was coaching or my seminar clients, and they would talk to me about why they weren't getting something done, why they weren't succeeding. And I would hear inside their story some lie they were telling themselves about the universe or about themselves that was keeping them from getting what they wanted. So over the years, I kept track of these, and I found that there were 17 basic lies that people tell themselves about life. And these 17 lies are what keep them from having the life they want. But the good news here is once they see that this thought, this myth, this thing they're believing isn't really even true, then they begin to have clarity, the freedom opens up, blue skies come in, and they're able to jump into action and do what they always wanted to do, but had been stopped by this artificial barrier. So there were 17 of these, and I wrote it 10 years ago. And I was thinking the other day, here, 10 years have passed since the 17 lies, and what are they like now? The world has changed. People have changed. I've worked with an awful lot of people over those 10 years since I wrote the book. And how have these changed? Well, I wanted to take lie number one in the book and look at it today. So lie number one was, it's who you know. And people would always walk around saying that. It's who you know. That's what success is based on. That's how you succeed in life, by knowing enough powerful people, enough decision makers, enough influencers, enough people in your network, knowing the right people. It's who you know. And people would actually say to me, you know, it's who you know. Really, I don't know this person, but if I knew this person, I'd be able to get in tight with that company and work with them. And the truth is, it's not who you know. I want to give you a little example of that. Many years ago, I was in the music industry and I was writing songs for a living. And we spent all kinds of time based on this lie, it's who you know. I mean, my songwriting partner and I would go to Nashville, we would go to New York, we would meet with Clive Davis's people, we would go out to Los Angeles and we'd sit with record companies. We went all over. We believed it's who you know. You've got to know the right producers. You have to know the right song publishers. It's who you know. And we would schmooze and network and we'd do so many things. We wasted so many hours and days and years even building up our contacts and thinking that success in the music business, especially if you were songwriters, is based on who you know. Well, one day we'd been trying so hard for years and months, and we'd had some success with our songs. A few people were recording our songs. And one day I had this one song that we had written that I thought it would be so perfect for this one artist, who way back then was a country artist. His name was Don Williams. You've probably heard his big hit called I Believe in You. Well, I thought this song of ours would be so perfect for Don Williams, but the sad thing is, even though we've networked and schmoozed and really connected with so many people, we still don't know anybody connected to him. We don't know his producer. We don't know his publishing people. So that's a blind alley. And everybody knows it's who you know. Everybody knows that that's the truth. Well, I thought, well, I know that's true, but I'm just going to try this. So what I did was I took the tape of the song, and I grabbed my Don Williams album, and I saw his record company on it, and I saw the address, and I found out who his producer was just because it was listed on the album. I didn't know any of these people. And so I wrote a little short letter. I put the tape in. I addressed it to his producer. I used the address right there on the album, and I went and put it in the mail. I never thought anything of it. I mean, this is something that anybody could have done. Any homeless person with a tape could have gone into a record store and gotten this same information off the album and sent his tape to Don Williams as well. So that's what I did. In fact, it was so unconnected and so unprofessional to do it this way, such a random shot, that I didn't even tell my songwriting partner that I had done this. So I sent it off, never thought a word of it, never thought a thing of it, never thought anything about it. And then about a month later, we get a call from Don Williams' producer saying he absolutely loves the songs on the tape and he's going to hold two for Don's next album. Well, we were just totally shocked. I mean, how in the world, of all the songs that come in, did he decide to open some unsolicited envelope from us and actually play those songs? But he did. Now, this blew the whole story open that you have to go around and meet all these people. What was really true for us was we had to write songs that were really good. That was what we missed. That's the part we skipped in our 5 years. Now, we wrote a lot of good songs, but how many would we have written that were really great had we not wasted all that time trying to get to know all these people? That's a story I'll never forget in my life, because I had believed it's who you know. What I hadn't seen was, the truth is, it's what you do. And what you do, if you want to be successful in the music business, is you create something that's so great, people can't ignore it. Let's bring this up to date now. Let's bring this up from the time when that music business story happened to the world today. I have so many clients today that I work with, people who are coaches, people who have small businesses, people who are consultants, people who have restaurants, so many clients that I've worked with in the last couple of years who have wasted so much time trying to get connected, trying to get to know people, going to all these events and networking and passing out business cards and collecting business cards and going to more events and getting on the internet and joining this group and that social network and then that one and then doing this and doing that all day long and staying connected and getting feedback. And it goes on and on and on and on. And at the end of the day, how much money did you make today? Well, I'm building my network. I'm really connecting. I'm creating a real web of influence. And I'm really reaching out. I'm really laying the groundwork. And what's really happening is, nothing great is being created. It's just nothing but connection and contact all day long. And when people can slow down and see this, it's not really true that it's who you know. That won't help you at all if the work is mediocre. You could know everybody, and everybody would know you, and they'd all know that your work was mediocre. That would be the buzz. They'd all talk about it. Yeah, do you know Steve? Yeah, I know Steve. His work is mediocre. It's just okay. It's fair. It's nothing you want to really pay a lot for. So now I know everybody, and they know my work is mediocre. Why? Because I have not put time into my work. I've not put time into actual service. I've put time instead into getting to know everybody. And this is not productive. This is counterproductive. I remember being 49 years old, walking around the planet, wondering how I had wasted my life and not really done my true calling, not really lived up to who I could have been. Here I'm 49. It's a bit late, isn't it? 49, not having done what you could have done. It's a bit late. I always wanted to be a writer, always wanted to have a book. I always dreamed that if I could walk through a bookstore and see a book written by me, that would be heaven. That would be like my life meant something to me. That was just me, because ever since I was a little tiny boy, writing was everything to me. I just loved writing. I was a sports writer when I got older. I used to write for the high school paper. It was just everything to me. And yet, here I am, 49, and it's late. It's too late. All my terrible wasted time in life, no way you can be a success. And even if I had a little something worth reading, the reason that it couldn't be published anyway was because I didn't know anybody. And I really believe this. I don't know anybody in publishing. I don't have an agent. You have to have an agent. And an agent doesn't want to take on someone who's never had a book written before, especially a 49-year-old guy who's never written. So I was really painted into a corner. I had pretty much given up. And it was really odd because one summer, my daughter Stephanie wanted some work to do, and I gave her this job of sending little samples of my writing around to publishers, because I still had in the back of my mind a bit of a pipe dream that maybe someday I could be published and maybe my books were something that somebody would want to read if I would ever write them and if anybody saw them. So I had this little portion of a book. It wasn't even a whole book. It was about a quarter of a book. And for a summer project, I had her take this publisher's guide and go through it and send about 60 of them out. And she did that. And it took her a few weeks to do it, and she put a cover letter, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anybody would be interested in it. I always believed that you had to know somebody. They had to know who you were. Nothing unsolicited. You couldn't just send anything blind to a publishing company or anywhere else and have anyone pay attention. See, we're talking about lies here. We're talking about what stops people from having the life they dreamed. And it's all between the ears. It's all in the mind. It's never really out there. The thing that's stopping me was never really true out there in the world. Only in my head that I thought, it's who you know. It's who you know that matters. If you don't know the right people, you'll never succeed. That was just between my ears. That was in my head. But that wasn't in reality, because when my little daughter sent all these samples out and cover letters, and this is a book that could happen if you wanted to publish it, I got a number of publishers calling me saying, we're really interested. And I was just absolutely floored. Here I am, 49 years old, and finally I'm going to have a book published, and there are top publishers who want to do it. And it was based not on who I knew, because I didn't know anybody. It was based on what I did, what I wrote in that little portion of a book. That's what had them want to publish it. So the truth here is, it's not who you know that matters. It's what you do that matters. People want it to be true that it's who I know. And somehow, that's a much easier way to waste my day, is to go all around contacting people, networking, emailing, and getting in all these linked connections and just filling my day. Oh, look at how many people are following me. Look at how many people are my friends. It's amazing. Success is probably right around the corner now. But why? Who am I serving? What am I really doing? I'm just connected. Now what? So the question now becomes, if I wake up to the fact that it's not all about who you know, and I wake up to the fact that it is all about what you do, what do you do with your time that truly serves another person? And I start to create my day based on what do I want to do with my time that truly serves people in such a way that there's financial flow back to me, because that illustrates how people have been served and to what degree. What do I want to do with my time? What do I want to commit to do for people? Instead of how am I going to link, who am I going to meet? And if I would stay focused on that, I could still, at the end of the day or during a certain period of time, devote some time to reaching out and connecting and becoming known. I could have that be a small part of what my life is. I don't want to devalue that completely, but neither do I want to believe that it's everything. Neither do I want to believe that it's all I need to do and that it's the primary component in success. And that's what people do believe when they look at you and say, you know, it's who you know. Well, how would I sell to that company? Well, it's who you know. Well, it's not. If you had something that would help this company, really help it, you wouldn't have to know the president. You wouldn't have to know anybody. You could get that in there and show them anywhere with anybody. So step one is to create something that would really help someone if they had it, a service, a product, anything. And that's where the focus is. I'm coaching various writers these days, authors, and one of the things I have to remind them to do, all these creative ideas they have about promoting their book, set those aside. Take your creativity and put it into the book. Have the book be so great that when people get it, they want to buy copies for other people. They want to share it. Don't spend all your creative energy on looking for a way to do some kind of Amazon scam that makes the world think your book's in the top 100 when it really isn't. And all these things people put all their mind into, and they don't put anything into the book itself. And they wonder later, what happened to my book? I must not know enough people yet. I must not have Twittered about my book enough to have people buy it. And they've got everything reversed. It's not who you know, it's what you do.